Right now it is time for Real News with Brian Ross. Brian joins us on a Thursday morning, and we take a look at news stories that are bubbling and out and about there in not only our immediate United States of America, but all over the world. Good morning there, Brian.
Good morning to you, Marshall. I want to start by saying there are 35 Republicans in the House who actually thought there should be an investigation of what happened on January 6th, breaking with the House leadership and the demands of Donald Trump. That was amazing to me that there'd be that many that has done such and has shown such cowardice.
Well, what's going to be interesting about this piece of legislation now is it's going to move on to the Senate. It used to be the Senate was a different type of organization, and compromise and cooperation and figuring things out used to happen. It's not that way now, but who knows? Maybe they can get the 10 votes because they need 60 votes to get this through the Senate.
Right, and that, you know, I guess it takes an insurrection, an attempt to disrupt democracy, to actually get bipartisanship. A sad state of affairs, but as you say, maybe this will be the one that sort of breaks the ice in a way.
It's going to be interesting to see. The main thing that, you know, it's funny, even our meteorologist today talked about that. A congressman who claimed that what happened at the Capitol that day was like any normal tourist visiting day, that the people stayed within the rope stanchions and everything like that. And then, of course, all the networks showed a picture of him helping barricade the House floor.
Yeah,
amazing.
And he's shouting, you know, hang Mike Pence, where's Nancy? I mean, this was a mob who was intent to, if they'd found any of those members of Congress or the vice president, I think there would have been... I think people could have died.
What a lot of people fail to realize is they were there for one person, one purpose only, to stop that vote.
Right.
To stop
exactly.
The vote, yeah, which was a basic vote of the Electoral College to finish the election. That was why they were there, to stop that vote. Amazing.
It was stunning to me, and you know, and given Kevin McCarthy's what he at the time was happening and what he knew was happening. His position is just, to me, stunning. It lacks logic. It lacks any kind of internal sort of consistency. And I guess the only thing that's important to him is to have Donald Trump on his side.
Well, that's the whole thing. Not even Donald Trump, but Donald Trump supporters. And it's a long political game that they are playing. And it's a very interesting political game they're playing. It's a very unorthodox political game that they're playing. And let's see if they read Donald Trump's population right or not, whether those people will follow along and go with the Republican Party when Donald Trump is not really an effective member of it. Right now he still is, but there's so many different indictments out there and other stories that are going to drop in the next couple of years. So it's the long game they're playing, and it's politics. But I want to tie this in with what's going on between Israel and Hamas, because basically when you come right down to it, it's each base there, the Israeli government and Hamas, trying to show their base that they're strong and that they're powerful and that they're going to keep doing what they're doing. And the missiles being thrown into Israel and Israel responding with tenfold force is the story that each of those sides want to tell the people and the Palestinians. And I've always said all along, Brian, and I don't know if you'll agree with this or not, but I want to get your opinion on this. The Palestinian people have been, unfortunately, the chess pawns of the world. Everybody talks about helping Palestinians. Everybody wants to help the Palestinians. But nobody in this world steps in to help the Palestinians like the other organizations around the world do. I mean, the Palestinian people get dumped on by Hamas and by Israel and kind of shunned by the rest of the world.
Absolutely true. Even their Arab neighbors don't really want them. And in many ways, ironically, both the Israeli residents, the Jews of Israel, and the Arabs, the Palestinians of the same territory, both have the same worldview, that it's us against the world, and they, you know, they feel like they're fighting for survival. I think what's important to point out is that Israel, you know, many, many times in the past has used a heavy military arm, thinking it can crush Hamas, and it has failed to do so over the years. And their intention this time to kill off leaders, destroy the tunnels that have a network ability there to move arms and people around. They want to do that before they agree to any ceasefire. But whether there's a military solution here, it has evaded them, eluded them before. No reason that they're going to achieve it this time either.
You know, two interviews that were done by foreign reporters really impressed me the most on this. One was a Palestinian woman who was complaining about both Israel and Hamas. She is saying, "Look around you. Do you see any Hamas soldiers? No, they are buried deep in bunkers. We the people are the ones that are paying the price." And on the side of Israel, it's the in-country violence now which is affecting Israel. And I heard once again an Israeli citizen say that it's now gone to a different level. It's the people, the population that now is getting affected. It doesn't really affect the soldiers that seem to fight this battle.
That's always the case almost with any war, but here particularly. And neither side of the political leaders sees an incentive to back down at the moment. They are trying to play for the optics of it on a world stage, make the other side look worse. And, they've done that, and the price has been paid high. There's a high price to be paid by the Palestinian people. You just count by the death toll, and that's certainly one way to look at this.
All right. So, I've always looked at this as, what the poor Palestinians are, they are on the receiving end of basically politics. And they're right. It is them against the world. And Israel, for its own sanctions and for what they do, it is Israel against the world. It's a very strange situation. People like to compare it to what happened in Northern Ireland, but this is Northern Ireland was a totally different beast, and even that's not settled, even though that has quieted down. But you can't compare the Mideast to Northern Ireland.
Well, you can't, but you can look at the suffering of the people who have gone through it by the failure of politics, failure of diplomacy. I mean, there's talk of a ceasefire by the weekend, and Israel has not wanted an immediate ceasefire because, as I said, they're trying to do as much damage as they can to the Hamas military capabilities. But they've played that game before and never has worked. They have not broken the back or the spirit of Hamas, and this probably only strengthens them. In some ways, Hamas's actions have strengthened the rule of Bibi Netanyahu.
Well, there you go. That's the whole thing. There doesn't appear that anybody wants to seek a real answer. At least towards the tail end of what happened in Northern Ireland, there were people seeking real answers and assurances. It just never seems to get there when it comes down.
And then both sides had to give. Remember, former Senator George Mitchell led the effort there. Both sides had to give, and they did. But it was only after, as you know, decades of ugly violence there and even a huge death toll that they finally came to their senses and found a compromise. And now it's, for the most part, holding very well in Ireland. What's happened in the Middle East has just, no one has found a way or found the key. And certainly the last president, his efforts with his son-in-law did not go anyway. They sort of ignored the Palestinians as if they could make a deal with the major countries. And that is at the peril. That's, they can't be ignored anymore, and they shouldn't be.
All right, one final question for you. With Colonial Pipeline Company paying the $4.4 million ransom, what does that mean to every other subversive organization who wants to shut down an economy to make money?
As Willie Sutton said, let's go where the money is. And right now it's these companies that have very poor internet security and don't have any backup plan. You know, if Colonial had a backup to all of their computers, if they had a better security plan, they wouldn't be in that position. I was talking with Richard Clark the other day, the former cyber czar for the United States of America, who said it should be illegal for any company to pay these ransoms to the hackers who are, for the most part, overseas, but wherever they are. It should be illegal. President Biden should issue an executive order to make it illegal. And the only people who are paying these ransoms, he says, and he knows it well because he works in this field as a private security advisor, are companies that have bad internet security who have insurance. And oftentimes the insurance companies will say, we're glad to pay it because it'd be cheaper than trying to reestablish your whole system. And one more point he made, which is interesting, banks and electric power grids are required by federal regulation to have active and vibrant cybersecurity. That's not the case with all pipeline companies. There's no federal regulation that requires them to have a cybersecurity plan that is inspected by the federal government and approved. So that's put some context on it. I guess he felt he had no choice but to do it, but they weren't going to blow up the pipeline. It's just that they'd lost track of what fuels were where and which customers were getting them. And it was more a question of their economic viability. They couldn't bill people for what was being delivered. That's why they shut it down.
An amazing story, and we'll have to see how it affects other actors in this underground, whether they're hackers in Connecticut, in the United States, Russia. It doesn't matter. It seems to open up a freeway for once again.
Exactly. Yeah. If they're gonna pay, it's the open season. You know, business is open. Let's go, because there are other major vital companies in this country. And not to mention police departments, hospitals, medical facilities that have similar poor security for their computer systems, who are vulnerable, and they say they'll have no choice but to pay. And it turns out it's very, very difficult to track this money once it's paid into the black sites, disappears into the ether, and nobody can track it down.
Yeah. We live in an amazing time. Brian, thanks for your time again. We'll speak to you next week.
You bet, Marshall. Look forward to it, as always.
Take care. Brian Ross with Real News here on Robin Hood Radio. Of course, you can hear Brian on demand. RobinHoodRadio.com on demand. Click on Real News with Brian Ross.